The following message is brought to you by MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. We are many stories made one family by one gospel. If you would like to connect with us, please check out our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.
Growing up in Kentucky, I took for granted that we had all four seasons in its fullest form. Growing up, some seasons would excite you more than others. But the wonderful thing is you always kind of knew that the next season was on the horizon. And so in Kentucky, the beautiful Commonwealth of Kentucky, like I said, all four seasons, and each season lasts around 3 months. And so if you were in a season that you didn't like, for example, winter, which we're in now here in Texas, when you're in the winter in Kentucky and you're like, I do not like this at all, it's way too cold or whatever, in your mind, you know you're just several weeks out from entering into a new season. And once March hits, it's, hey, guess what? The cold starts to fade and warmth starts to come. And so you know that you're entering into a new season. And you know, growing up, my favorite season was summer. I love the summer. Didn't have school. It was warm enough to swim. I could play outside all day long, and it was amazing. And then fall would come, and I would be like, oh man, I just wish I had more summer. I don't know if that was because I had to go back to school or what, but I love the fact that in Kentucky, the seasons continually change, and you do get new seasons. But the reality of the seasons is I didn't get to pick to have summer longer or shorter. God is the one who ultimately changes the seasons. And so in our text this morning, the Lord reminds us in our passage that He is the God of time and that He dictates the seasons. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "There's an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven." The Old Testament commonly sees purposefulness in life coming from God's providential oversight in its occasions and its seasons. And so in this text, we see that everything has a season. And one of the great joys of being a Christian is that we recognize who is in charge of everything, who holds the seasons in His hand. Psalm 31 says, "But I trust in You, Lord. I say, You are my God. The course of my life is in Your power. Rescue me from the power of my enemies and my persecutors." He's saying, my life is in Your hands. You hold all things together. I do not get to dictate my life in that regard. And so, like a Kentucky calendar, we will all go through various seasons in life. Some really short, some maybe medium in length, and some really long. And those seasons are ordained by God and given to us. So what happens if you don't like the season that you're in? What if I don't want to be in this season anymore? Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose." Good will come out of every season, not just the ones you enjoy and you want to stay in. He says that all seasons work together for the good of your spiritual benefit. They're for you, and God has given you that season right this second because He intends for you to be in that season. Now, we can sit and complain. We can sit and mope. We can be like, this is terrible. I don't like it. And I understand we've all been in that season, but we need to remember in those seasons that God has given it to us. And there is a very distinct purpose that we are in that season. And so I want us to look quickly at the rest of our passage, Ecclesiastes 3. We're going to look at verses 2 to 8 briefly. We're going to run with these together. Verse 2, "A time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot." This is the most momentous events of the human life. They're childbearing, it's being born, and then death, passing away. There's a season for both. There's a time to plant, then there is a time to uproot. Verse 3, there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build There is a time for everything. Together, kill and heal, they form a contrast. And life includes season of deep harm and also seasons of restoration. And we know that we do not control when all of these come. Psalm 60, verse 1 says, God, you have rejected us. You have broken us down. You have been angry. He says, restore us. There are seasons when we're going to feel broken down. We're going to be broken down by God. Sometimes we're broken down by others, and then we are restored. There's restoration there. See, mankind is not self-sufficient in these activities. We are within the control of God. Look at verse 4, the next two pairs, they incorporate human emotions. The first are our private emotions. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. Then there's public emotions next, right? There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time for various emotions that we have in life. And those are good things. They're very normal things for us to experience. Look at verse 5. It says, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to throw stones. I don't know about you, but you probably haven't gone out in your garden recently and thrown stones. And so what does he mean by this? Well, throwing stones at two potential meanings here. One is rendering the land unusable. So we see this in 2 Kings 3. Armies would scatter stones across fields to ruin their enemies during war. It was an act of judgment in conflict. Another reason to throw stones would be a little bit more obvious to us, would be to remove stones from a field so that you could clean the field so that it was useful at a later date. You know, the phrases are point to disruption, conflict, or loss. Times when something is intentionally unsettled or made unproductive. There's a time to throw stones. There's also seasons in which we gather stones. And so in this time and era, you would gather stones to prepare building maybe a wall or a home or even an altar. This is restoration after conflict. We even see this in the Old Testament, them building altars as a sign of wanting to be restored back. And so again, we see the pair, destruction and restoration. We see conflict and we see peace. Once again, there is a time and there is a season for everything. Look at in verse 6. It says, a time to search and a time to count as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. The next two pairs, these reflect on possessions and our resolutions concerning them. There's a time to search for something. There's also a time to give up. There's a time to keep something. There's also a time to throw it away. As we enter in March, I'm sure a lot of you would do what we do as a family, and you go through your old clothes and you're like, well, I kept this long enough. This season is past. It is time to give this away, throw this away. There's destruction, there's restoration, there's possessions, there's resolutions. And then we look at verses 7 and 8. There's a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Tearing and sowing often refers to mourning and the termination of mourning. There's going to be seasons where you are in mourning. There's other times when you step out of that mourning into joy. Then the remaining is the human speech, right? There's time to be silent, time to speak. Then affections, we got love and we got hate. We have national endeavors, right? We have war, we have peace. And all is under the divine control and time of our Father. And so in this passage, we see various seasons or circumstances. Just through this quick run-through of Ecclesiastes 3, we see national endeavors, we see emotions, we see possessions, we see friendship, we see human life, we see loss and gain, we see destruction to restoration. Everything that we see in this passage is something that you have either experienced at some point in your life already, or you will experience in due time. And each of them are there because God has ordainedly put them in your path. I want to give you the main idea of our text this morning. It's that God orchestrates all seasons and circumstances for His purposes and our ultimate spiritual good. God has good things in store for you. He has good things in store for me. And all the circumstances, all the situations, all the seasons that I go through, some easier than others, are for my benefit. And they're for His ultimate glory. That we would honor Him by the way that we handle those seasons. I'm going to give you two truths this morning that I just want you to think about and pray about and just reflect on your life through. Truth one, all seasons appointed by God are purposeful in cultivating humility in us. As we see these different seasons of God, it ought to cultivate a humility in us. Well, why? You may be like, well, Travis, why should this cultivate humility in us? Well, because we are humans. We have limits. We do not control time. God does. We do not control our season. God does. We don't get to choose when one starts and when one ends. God does. There's a human limitation on all of these things. And here's the thing. God has no limits. The God that we serve, the sovereign creator and sustainer of this world, gives us something for our benefit and for our good. And we have no control over it, no matter what it is. That is humbling to know how big our God is. I want you to think of Job. Job moves from a season of abundance to a season where he lost absolutely everything overnight. He didn't choose it. He couldn't explain it. And yet when God finally speaks, he doesn't tell Job why the season has changed. What does he do? He reminds Job who's in control. And Job's response is humility. He says, I had heard of you, but now my eyes see you. Another biblical example, we think of Joseph. Sold into slavery by his brothers, years of betrayal, prison, and waiting, followed by God revealing the purposes much later in an extraordinary way. When he finally sees his brothers many years later, he's able to help his people. And he says to his brothers who tried to kill him, he says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. We ought to have a recognition that God is in control even when things seem out of control. Have you ever been in a season like that where you felt like things were out of control? Looking back on that season, you probably see the hand of God in that season. And now you can look back and be like, God was in control of all that. He had my back. He covered me. He is the one who got me through that season. And for that, it ought to cultivate a humility of who God is, His bigness, His graciousness, His tender-hearted love for His people. Trusting in God in these seasons does, it demonstrates humility because we're not relying on ourselves to get out of a season, nor should we compliment ourselves when we're in a season that is great. We should give it all to God. Truth two, walking through life's changing seasons is meant to deepen our faith in God. Life is full of various emotions. One moment you'll be on the mountaintop. Couldn't be any better. In the next, you are in a valley. One moment you get a raise at work with a promotion, and before you know it, you're laid off. One minute, you are healthy and your blood work comes back great. And the next, you get a diagnosis that floors you. One moment you're in a relationship that is flourishing and appears great, and then blink of an eye, that relationship is in ruins. One moment you're doing well financially, things are looking up for you. In the next moment, the resources are gone. You may have experienced some of these situations that I just mentioned, and it may bring back some past emotions in you and how you felt in those moments. One thing I can tell you is that God is faithful. He's a faithful God, and His faithful love endures forever. He will never let you down. He will never abandon you. He is there for you on the mountaintop just as much as He is with you in the valley. Often when we're on the mountaintop, though, we're not looking back to God and saying, thank you for my mountaintop experience. But we're in the valley. We are searching hard for the Lord and for answers and how to get out. We're like, we need help. But God's faithfulness doesn't change whether you're in the mountaintop or in the valley. And so as we walk through these different seasons of life, it's meant to deepen your faith, my faith in God, the creator and sustainer of all things. Think of the Israelites. God didn't take Israel straight from Egypt into the promised land. The wilderness was a season, and they learned a lot. Now, often slowly, but they learned. They learned to trust God for daily bread, water, and direction. And over time, they began to grow in their faith with Him. But we, just like the Israelites, we panic. We panic. One moment, we're like, I thought I was going to have bread 20 minutes ago. I don't have it. Now I'm freaking out. I'm not sure, God, if you even are there. I'm not sure if you love me at all. But yeah, we can look back in Exodus, as we're going through right now as a church, and the farther we get along Exodus, there's going to be moments where you're like, didn't they just see the hand of God in His provision, like, last chapter? Like, did we not just see all the miracles that He has performed, all the good things that He has done for the Israelites, and the Israelites are still doubting that He's going to come through for them? We are often like that. We often struggle at times when we're in seasons that we don't like, or it's not a season that we would choose for ourselves, or it's not the right time for us to be in that season. We think that should be later or whatever. We need to recognize that these are moments for us to grow in our faith and in our trust in God. Do not waste whatever season you are in. Sinclair Ferguson says this. He says, faith learns to rest in God, not because it understands His timing, but because it knows His heart. Do you trust the heart of your Father? As we trust the heart of the Father, we will trust the timing in which He gives us. Regardless of what that season is, we will trust Him in that. We can trust that God orchestrates all seasons and circumstances for His purposes and our spiritual good. We can recognize that all seasons have been appointed by God and are purposeful, and they cultivate humility in us. We also can learn that walking through life's changing seasons is meant to deepen our faith and our trust in God, which should give us a great level of confidence in who God is. If you're listening to this today and you're not a Christian, you have likely been through various seasons like we are talking about. You may even be in a season right now, and you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. All you know is you want to get out of this season, and you're having a lot of introspection because of that. I can't promise you when you'll be out of that season, but what I can promise you is that there is a God who loves you and cares for you so much that He sent His Son to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin so that we can have a right relationship with Him. And when we have that relationship with Him, we lean on Him. We can trust Him in the midst of these seasons, and we can have great faith and confidence that He has this season in store for us for our good. And so if you're burdened, if you are heavy laden, Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Do you need rest this morning? If you're not a Christian, I'd encourage you to, to contemplate what it means to trust and follow Jesus. If you're trying to rely on yourself, trying to trust in yourself and trying to pull your bootstraps up and I'm going to get out of this season, and you may be struggling in that. And I just want to encourage you to turn to Jesus this morning. If you are a Christian, I'd encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, take heart in whatever season you are in. Remember, you are in this season for a reason. You may not know the reason right this second, but it will cultivate humility in you, and it ought to, and it ought to deepen your level of faith and commitment to the Lord. Press deeper into your Father as you are in this season. Ecclesiastes does not teach us to master time, but to trust the God who has appointed the time. And we need to trust Him, grow in our faith in Him, and grow in our confidence in the Lord. There is good things in store for us. Let's view the seasons we're in light of God's perfection, in who He is, in His character that He has revealed to us in His Word. So church family, this week, as you go, remember the season you are in. Remember the seasons that God has brought you out of. Remember His faithfulness through all of your life, His hand of protection on you, His hand of blessing on you. And this week, let's worship Him because of who He is. Let's trust in Him. Let's grow in our affections for Him, our faith, and let's grow in our confidence in who Christ is and what He has done for us.